Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we begin, I want to tell you I feel a little self-conscious. On Thursday morning, actually in the middle of the night, I had a horrible toothache. Woke up on Thursday morning and thought I could gut through it, but that was not the case. And by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was getting a root canal. So my mouth's a little sore. I'm doing okay. That has nothing to do with our sermon today. I'm just trying to, actually it has something to do with our sermon, but we'll talk about that later. Text for today is what David read for us in the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Often this chapter is called the love chapter. Now, Valentine's Day is coming up. Guys, if you didn't know that, Valentine's Day is coming up. All right, maybe you should start shopping. We have stores filled with flowers and chocolates and all sorts of things. And you might be tempted to think that this is why the love chapter was placed here on this Sunday. But that's not correct. You might also think that this chapter is a great description of romantic love. But it's not. I'm guessing many of you have probably heard this passage at a wedding. Perhaps you had it read at your wedding, but maybe I'm sacrificing a sacrificial cow here today, and I'm going to tell you this chapter has nothing to do with romantic love. Probably shouldn't be read at weddings. Now, if you did, that's fine. It's right. It's scripture. It's great. But I don't think when we're confronted with the idea of love that Paul lays out here that we do it justice. Because immediately, especially us Westerners, especially us English speakers, the word love is a pretty broad phrase. We can say, I love my spouse, and we can say, I love Oreo cookies, right? But if you love your spouse the way you love Oreo cookies, that's pretty weird, right? And vice versa, right? This idea that Paul is talking about is very different. But oftentimes when we hear the word love and when we hear the words of 1 Corinthians 13, we immediately want to try to make comparisons. Am I matching up to what Paul is talking about? Do I have that kind of love? Am I able to do those things? Do you measure up to the standard that Paul says? Well, think about your own marriage or your own relationships. Does this passage reflect your actions towards your spouse at all times? What about towards your friends or your coworkers? Do you follow these words every single day when you're posting online? You know, a false reading of the text believes that you have to perform in order to love, that love does all of these things to prove that you're worthy or valuable enough. If you're on social media at all, this will make sense. If you're not, maybe it won't. But how much time do you spend crafting a perfect post, whether you do it like the old people like this way or you do it this way? You wait for those likes and those comments to roll in. And it could feel kind of exhilarating. But no matter how hard you try, you always want a little bit more. There's always one more expectation to meet, one more way to impress others. And our text for today challenges everything that you know about love and what it means to be valued, and performance has nothing to do with it. From a sinful human perspective, love can be just another performance. You put on a show, whether it's in a marriage, in your family, in your friendships, or even here at church. You desire to play the role of the perfect, admirable person. But Paul isn't talking about a love that we can manufacture. No matter how well you perform, you will never measure up to the standard that Paul describes in this text. But this performance, this search for people to love us is nothing new. In fact, in Corinth, to the city that Paul was writing this letter to, the Christians were boasting. They were boasting about their spiritual gifts, about prophesying, about speaking in tongues, and even suffering persecution. And most dramatically, some have even handed their bodies over to reap personal acclaim. And Paul cuts through all of the noise and calls it what it is. Earlier in the letter, it's boasting. It's self-focused. It's not love. That's why Paul has to show you another way. It's no different today, is it? You might not be boasting about spiritual gifts, but you found plenty of other ways to perform. You boast about successful careers, perfectly curated family, higher education, or your political righteousness. You wake up, you grab your phone, you scan the headlines, you stay informed, and you arm yourself with something impressive to say. Did you hear about that thing that happened? You know, I read that, fill in the blank. And it feels good when someone goes, wow, you really know it all. You're really on top of things. But what's really behind it? Boasting. At its core, it's an attempt to be loved and to be seen as valuable, but it's love in the wrong lane. This love that Paul is talking about goes much deeper than admiration or applause. It's a love that isn't about what you do, what you achieve, or even what you feel. This love that Paul talks about isn't earned, coaxed, bought, or bartered. It's not warm fuzzies that you try to summon inside of yourself. It doesn't rise and fall based on circumstances or feelings. This love is not an emotion or something to describe as out there or something that's conjured in here. No, Scripture is clear that love comes to us from outside of us. And you put the narrative of Scripture together and you find out that love is a person, and his name is Jesus. I want you to listen to Paul's words again, but I want you to now think of them as a description of Jesus. He is patient. He is kind. He does not envy or boast. He's not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He keeps no record of wrongs. He rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. And he is the greatest. Jesus loves you this way. He loves you despite your obsession with everything that distracts you from him. He loves you after all the ways that you've boasted in yourself. He is not easily angered. He humbled himself for you, becoming a man and walking the road to the cross where he bore all of your sins for you, all of your sin, your shame, your striving. He keeps no record of wrongs. His love never fails because he never fails. Oftentimes in our life, you can equate it that we try to think that, you know, being a Christian and the Christian walk is sort of being on a treadmill, right? And you're walking on that treadmill, or maybe you've got the knees and the body to be able to run on that treadmill, and you just go and you go and you go and you go, and you go faster and farther, that if you just work a little bit harder, you'll get the approval that you're looking for. But no matter how hard you push yourself, you're stuck in the same place. You don't go anywhere. You're tired, you're frustrated, and you're wondering if it's enough. And trying to earn love is sort of like running on that treadmill, because you can't work your way into it. You'll exhaust yourself just trying. But the good news we find in the pages of Scripture is that Christ steps in, he turns off the treadmill, and he offers you freedom. He's not a divine coach trying to tell you how to be better, how to run more, how to work on your form. No, he clicks the switch off and says it's finished. He meets you right where you are, not with demands or expectations, but with a love that is already yours. And he says, rest. It is finished. You are forgiven. You are mine. And I love you. This love, this person, this Jesus, is found here. It's found in this place where God comes to you. It's not in a feeling. It's not in doing more. It's in the word proclaimed right into your ears. It's in water, it's in bread and in wine, where Christ himself is present, delivering the forgiveness of sins right to you. And it doesn't depend on you. It's his gift for you. Love is not a formula for life. It's a solution to the problem we all have, and that's called death. And that solution is yours today. Because in Christ, love incarnate has come to you. And in that, you are forgiven. In the church year, we're in the season of Epiphany. It's the one of the two seasons in church where we wear green. Epiphany is known as the manifestation of everything that is Jesus. We talk about the wise men who came. And today I want you to think about Epiphany being a manifestation of love. The manifestation of love for you, that it's not just an idea, it's not just a virtue, but it's a person, your Savior, Christ, the light of the world, Christ, the love of God made flesh for you, and his love never fails. Now may this love of God, which is patient and kind, which bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen. Amen.